selling rings, selling big stones anywhere from $1,000 to over $100,000 a piece of jewelry. I got burnt out. I was amazed at the society on, to give you a scenario, one in particular, good morning, gentlemen, one in particular, I'm looking at this gentleman, and he's sitting across from me, and his bride-to-be is, quote, demanding that she receives a one-carat diamond, okay? So good quality one-carat diamond, anywhere from $6,000 to $25,000, okay? And I'm looking at this gentleman, and I'm like, flag! This is a flag! You know, if you're not comfortable with this, now is the time to speak up, right? Because that's the next big step, that the expectations, wherever you start, right, the expectations continue. So to sum it up, I ended up running into so many individuals, both male and female, where their expectations of what they wanted the other person to do was so high, it was almost unachievable for a lot of them, right? So then that creates a sense of failure. Okay. Fast forward, ended up in a crystal shop. I owned my own shop out in California for 3 years, absolutely loved it. I learned so much on energy work. It's amazing. As it transitioned into traditional Reiki, to other healing modalities, including card reading, and not tarot, that's not for me, but oracle card reading, it just naturally moved into hypnosis. Because I found when I was working with a client for Reiki, my voice would change, I would settle down, I'd be able to conduct energy. And whether you're into energy movement or not, as a hypnosis practitioner, hypnotist, you're moving energy one way or another, right? Even yesterday when we were in, or I attended the show last night, and there was a part when Rich was doing something, and the top of my head was just not on fire, but so many tingling things. I'm like, all right, what's he doing? Just checking in. And it was all good. But it's amazing how we can impact each other on just our thoughts or emotions and feelings. So fast forward to the block. What is your block? When I couldn't figure out, when I was stymied by how am I going to present this at expos, the Mind Valley Soul Expos, all those kind of natural wellness type things. And you get a slew of different people between, you know, the computer generated new equipment that's out there to measure auras and to measure, you know, how your biosphere is and so on, to those that are truly sitting at a table, really connected and being able to work their magic. Mine, I collaborated with the Reiki Center. I had found out that one of my blocks early on, before starting these expos, was that I don't like doing paperwork. I don't like doing my paper, like payroll stuff. I don't like doing my taxes. They always get done. But that was a block for me. And I found that I wasn't moving forward into my hypnosis practice because I didn't want to do that part of it. I had no interest. I've done it before. And I'm like, no, if I can get somebody else to do that for me. But I didn't also want to hire somebody. I didn't want to spend the X amount of thousands of dollars. So I reached out to this particular center. It's out in Columbus. Turns out she had her center for over 20 years. Okay, or she's now in her 21st year. She was looking for a hypnotist. Perfect. I love it. So yes, there's an exchange, right, for fees and so on. But to me, it is so worth the exchange because I don't have to worry about, you're welcome, good morning. Don't have to worry about any of the social media aspects per se. I do my own, but they take care of it. But my goal was to be out there more. And that was one of my blocks. They're taking care of it. So in this hour that we have, I would like you to write down or think of three goals that you currently have. And if you have four, write them down. Okay, just on this top part in here. When I started doing this at the Mind, Body, and Soul Expos, it helped the people who didn't know what they wanted to do or why they wanted to see me because it started to do that investigative work, right? You're starting to extract information from your client. When you have those three written down, or at least two, hopefully, we're going to talk about the blocks. And if someone's happily willing to be a volunteer, or just give me even a particular goal that might not even be your own, so I can give you an example. Has anyone got an idea for a goal?
See paying clients? Yes.
Paying clients?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So, goal. See paying clients. Okay. So, follow along on this. Now, this is actually a Japanese technique, the 5Y. Toyoka is the gentleman that's attributed for it, but he would ended up in Toyota Motors. Okay. They're very good at getting things down to the root cause, which, as a hypnotist, we do too in a lot of ways, right? It's not Band-Aids. We get to the root cause so it can be released. Then you get to move forward. So when you do this quickly, okay, you ready? Okay. It will bring it down to one of the root causes. Typically speaking, for most things that people will come to see hypnotists for is there's a fear, right? Something might be unattainable to them. And then another one is self-esteem, self-worth. Something's been told to them way back when, and that imprint has carried them throughout the decades or whichever timeline it might be. So don't be surprised to go say, now it could be a completely different direction. So it is an experiment, okay? So goal, paying clients. Why do you want to have paying clients?
I need a source of income.
Okay, need a source of income. Oops. Sunday morning, can't spell. There we go. Okay. Okay. Why do you need a source of income?
To pay the rent and buy food.
Okay. To pay rent and buy food. Why do you need to buy food and pay rent?
Survival.
Interesting. Okay. Why do you need to survive?
That's what we do.
Okay. That's what we do. And why is that? Top of your head. It can seem so far out there or very direct. Okay. Now, does this, when you go down from that one to that one to that one to that one, that we already exist, does that fall in any of the three categories? Fear, unattainable, not connected, self-esteem?
Possibly fear.
Mm-hmm. Fear. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So, this has a fear that you're not going to be having those paying clients. Okay, this is a really quick way that I have found to get a direct core, so to speak. Next step is, though, where is it? This part here. Where is it residing in the body? So, this part, when I have a client, and it is literally for the 20 minutes at an expo, because your 90-minute session is very different. Obviously, you can do all of the pre-talk, get into everything, and then really dig deep. I personally go back to three significant moments in time when they're in regression so that I can see if it's more inner child work, if it's something more recent, and then we have those conversations to reframe it and then bring them back out of hypnosis with the good stuff. You know, anytime you eliminate something from the memory or the body, or maybe not eliminate, but heal something, then it's replacing it with something that's going to be positive to carry them forward. Okay, and I'll give you another example of this here in a minute. But where in the body would it be? So if you were to make it super easy on yourself, okay, Mike, super easy. You can turn your eyes inward, and we're all going to do this as a group here in a second for your own particular goals. But you can turn your eyes inward, and you literally take what I call a silver cheesecloth, super fine, okay? And you bring that cloth and you, as you descend it down over your energy, okay, whether you call it auric field, biosphere, whichever it might be, but all the way down, as you scan down, where does it feel stuck? Where does it feel heavy in the body? Where does it maybe have a twinge in there?
In my head.
In your head. Okay. So head typically is a mental block, right? Okay, so head is going to be up here, right? So how do you release that? Then we go into a role, function, purpose, intention, which we will do. So keep that in mind, because as a group we'll do it and I'll get you guys caught up. But we end up having a conversation with that energy, or it may present as a color, it may present as a being or an entity, right? It could present yourself as your six-year-old self talking in your head, something that someone said way back when. But we have a conversation, we're ready to find out why it's there, right? Ready? Okay, let's start. All right, so with your goal, everyone has a goal, at least one written down in there? Yeah? Okay, very good. So become centered, just take a deep breath in. Yeah, ideally feet are uncrossed so that you can get very centered, but a deep breath in. Hold. And then release. And another breath in. Hold. And then release. And then one more in. And then release. All right. Open your eyes. As you look at that goal, answer your first why. Why do you have that first goal? And write that down on your paper. And it can be a full sentence, it might be just a keyword, whatever works for you. And then the next why. Whatever you answered for the first one, why? Why do you need that source of income? Why do you need that freedom? Why do you want the retirement? Why do you want to expand? But answer that next question, why? And then continue on until all five whys are answered. And you might be surprised at what you come up with for yourself. I'll give you another minute or so. And it definitely gets you to think, doesn't it? It's like, huh, didn't realize that's where it was coming from. I still see some writing. Doing pretty good? Now, when you get to that last five why, and then you're able to put it into a category, so to speak, whether it's a fear, not attainable, and keep this simple, and not connected, worthy, esteem. That one continues on quite a bit. But once you get, good morning. Once you get to that point, just raise your hand so I know that you're completed with it. Thank you. Okay, you got yours? Yep. And if you're comfortable sharing, you don't have to share the goal, but the end, the last one. If you're comfortable sharing, all right.
I don't proceed, mm-hmm. reach out to that, to my goal. I will continue to feel a little bit like an island.
Okay, very good.
I want the connection.
Yep, connection. Okay, very good. Anybody else want to share? Okay. Everyone done with their list for the most part? Yeah. A couple more writing. Okay. Okay, so now the fun part. When you find out where that's residing in the body, it will get released. Okay? So it's quite good. But we have a conversation with it. So, again, take a nice deep breath in. Eyes open or closed, whichever you prefer. Hold it. And then let it go. All right. Cheesecloth, that really fine silver net. Or fishing net, if you happen to be a fisherman. Take that net and start going down. See where it feels heavier in the body, whether it's the head, the eyes, the cheeks, right? The jaw, the shoulders, maybe it's in the shoulder blades, the heart space, somewhere in the torso of the stomach, maybe it's in the back, the lower back, right? The rear, the hips, the thighs, the knees, the ankles, the toes. Raise your hand if you have found where it feels either heavier or there's a change. Okay, very good. All right, we'll give you a couple more minutes. Very good, almost there. So hold on to that spot, okay, just for the moment. Now, when you tune in, it's the easiest thing to do. You don't have to make anything, you allow it to happen. You're literally doing some investigative work for yourself, okay? So you're safe, you're in control completely. Look at that spot. Turn your eyes inward. See how it shows up for you. Is it possibly a color? Is it possibly another human being that you related to? Is it possibly an energy force or life force of some other creature? It could be an animal. It could be a mystical creature, whatever it might be. Okay, so focus in on that. Now, when you have that shown up for you, or it might be just a blank screen, and that's perfectly good too. Very good. Assign it a name. Don't think about it. Just have a name pop up for it. Give it a name. Okay? In my world, there was a particular name, someone that I wasn't very fond of, so it always ended up being that name. I'm like, yeah, we're going to deal with you now. Okay? So once you have that name, invite it to sit down. Invite it to be present with you. And you're going to ask it some questions. Okay, so at this point, we're going to go in and out of writing, along with in and out of a mild hypnosis. Not too deep, but deep enough that you'll get the results that you need. What's its role? So for instance, if you came up with fear, or not connected, not attainable, repeat after me, quietly or silently, I am the part of am. So in your case, you'd say your name. I am the part of Anne that came up with this fear. And my role in Anne's life is to what? Write that word down. Whatever comes up for you, write that word down. Maybe it's to protect you. Maybe it's to keep you hidden. Whatever came up, allow it to be. Write it in there. Then, I'm going to have to erase this here so I can. Once you have that result, go in. And you're going to do the same process, but now you're going to ask its function. So you see that energy, that being, whatever it might be for you, or object. I am the part of Anne that came up with fear. And my function in Anne's life is to what? What comes up for you? Okay, write that down. Mm-hmm. Very good. And you could do this in a waking state with a client, which I often do at conferences and exposed because it's much easier and faster just to get them actually partly interested but also to help them heal already to get some progression and everything like that. Okay, then you repeat again and you'll go into the purpose. I am the part of Anne that came up with maybe it's self-esteem, low self-esteem, and my purpose in Anne's life is to, mm-hmm. And then you will write that down. And it may very well be the same thing as the function. That's actually pretty common. And then the next one is intention. Okay? I am the part of Anne that came up with unworthiness. And my only intention in Anne's life now is to answer. Okay? And this is definitely an exercise where you don't wish to analyze. You just allow the words to flow or the emotions to flow. And again, it brings it down to the root cause and the reason why that particular block has been there. More often than not, from what I've seen and experienced with my clients, it's a protection. They thought it was doing a really great job of protecting you, right? But it could technically be something that is from you were very little that's no longer needed as an adult. Yeah, that's when a full session is definitely helpful. So, but today's purpose is this is a good intro to everything. Okay, so once you have your intention, then put that down. All right, now, so those of you that are really engaged in it, between the numbers 0 or from the numbers 0 to 12, what number stands out to you? Anybody want to share?
8.
Oh, common one. Okay. We'll go with 8. Okay. All right. So, traditionally speaking, what I have found in research is your 8-year-old self has got some words for you. That's the one that you're healing within to bring up to the adult level now. Okay? It's a quick way because it's also a little bit of a breakaway, as they call it, right? It kind of redirects so you're not so channeled into the role, function, purpose, intention. When I've done this, it's surprisingly accurate, whether the client remembers an actual memory from when they were 8 or they can see themselves at 8 years old, that's the little one to talk to. So for myself, it ended up having to be my 6-year-old self that I needed to take care of. And I ended up actually finding a photograph of me at the age of 6, and I'd have it in my car. So anytime I put my visor down, I would see not just my kids, I'd see myself. I'm like, I am taking care of you. I've got you. You're safe. You're in control. Everything is really good now. Okay? And it's just an affirmation, a constant affirmation. Then I found once that part was healed, my picture actually went up with my kids inside my house. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, actually. Now, the role, function, purpose, intention. That's actually attributed to Marissa Peer. If you've ever heard of rapid transformational therapy, that is one of her protocols that she used. I tend to find that I learn a lot from many people and then it merges, right? Some things work really well for me and other things I'm like, I try it and it doesn't receive the results that I'm hoping for the client. So then it's like, okay, that path is not quite for me. So I've learned to let that go, because I used to think, no, you're trained this way, you have to do it this way. But as you grow and expand, you learn to trust yourself, your intuition, and knowing what the client actually needs. And maybe it is exactly that protocol that you were taught, but in most cases you're bringing in other areas from your own history that you've learned, right, to share. So there is, in my opinion, there is no one way to do it. Okay, so we got the role, function, purpose, intention done. We now have an 8-year-old. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. If you happen to receive a number, then go to that age for yourself, as much as you can remember at least. Okay? And take a nice breath in. And then allow it out. And feeling completely safe, secure. Looking at it maybe like a movie, perhaps being in the scene itself, but you can see your younger self there, standing, sitting, playing, whatever it might be going on. Maybe it's something that's not quite so good. We're not reliving the experience. We're literally just extracting the information. Okay? So as you're in that moment, I want you to look at your younger self. Notice what's going on around you. If a scene has shown up that's becoming more vivid, very clear. Your senses start to engage. You can tell whether it's daytime or nighttime. You can also tell whether you're inside or outside. Perhaps you're at home. You might be alone or with friends. Maybe family members gathering. You know, whatever that scene is, allow yourself to really immerse yourself into that. And as you've got a good focus, take a look at what's going on around you. Again, you might be alone, and that's perfectly okay. Why are you there? Ask yourself, why is this moment in time being presented? What needs to be shown to you? Okay. What's keeping you in this particular moment in time? Now, as you have that scene there and you see yourself, and if you've received answers or not, allow it to be. I want you to grab the hold of the hands of your younger self, your 8-year-old self, your 6-year-old self, maybe it's your 4-year-old self, or 11-year-old self. And I want you to look them in the eye. And as you look them in the eye, I want you to tell them how proud you are of them. They have become resilient. They're going to make it. Whatever's transpiring is changing. Tell them how much you love them. They're growing. The experience, if it's good, it's to be brought forward. If it's not so good, maybe even horrible, it's over. Bring that little one with you. Meaning, I want you to embrace them, give them a big hug. Love them up as the best way you know how to love them up. Big hugs, kisses on the cheek, high fives, fist pumps, whatever it might be, maybe even a little dance. Especially whoever has a tutu. I keep seeing a tutu. Now, as you've got them fully embraced, near eye to eye, ask them if they're ready to come with you. If they're ready to come and see where you are now at the current stage of your life. Most likely you'll see a nod or a smile. Some might be jumping for joy. It's like, yes, I'm out of here. I get to grow and experience life. Once you have that affirmation that they are ready to come with you, and there might be a few that are a little hesitant, reassure them that they are safe, that you've got them, they have your full support. And as they are ready, ask them to merge with you, meaning a heart-to-heart hug. Now, a heart-to-heart hug is a little bit different than what most people think. Usually, when someone gives another one a hug, they go to the left of the person, meaning they lean to the left, the other person leans to the left, right? There's a small little disconnect there. So instead, when you're hugging them, I want you to go to the right. So you veer to the right, they veer to the right. What that brings is that your hearts are in complete alignment with each other. I'm going to count for 15 seconds. To get it sunk in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Allow them to merge. 6. Filling up. 7. Feeling really good. 8. 9, easiest thing to do. 10, 11, 12, 13, and the last little bit of them, it's about to go, 14, 15, they are now in your heart, okay? So with that, take a nice deep breath in, and then release. Come back to this present moment, ready when you're to open your eyes. What's comfortable? Okay. How was that for you? Anyone want to share? I see a couple of tears. So, it's a quick way of bringing that inner child of you to grow up and to remove that fear, right? Move the disconnect to show them that they're worthy. Now, this was a very quick example for this exercise, but it's something that you can repeat quite often. Like I have found for myself, when I get stuck, when I feel that block, it's like, all right, where's that block coming from? I'm like, for the most part, I'm a pretty confident person. This, frankly, thank you for my opening speech. This is my first speech at a convention, so I'm very excited. So thank you for being and participating with that. Thank you. But this was one of my fears. And I was like, why am I afraid to do this? This makes no sense. I used to present to 4th to 6th graders for years on different gemology backgrounds, so geology is what I taught them. But I'm like, even this morning, I'm having breakfast over at Denny's, getting ready, and I'm like, okay, whether it's one person that shows up or a full room, what am I worried about? I'm used to teaching 36 students that are all over the place. Right? It's like, I can do this. I'm like, just calm down. And I went through, literally, the 5 whys, my goal, to have a successful speaking engagement. Why? Because I want to build the continued confidence. This is a path I want to take. Why do I want to take this path? Because I want to help more people on a bigger scale. I love seeing clients one-on-one, but I love the group work because it's incredible what gets shared when people really wish to open up, because there's usually those tag-alongs, like 8 and 8, right? It's amazing how things kind of synchronistically come together. Okay, now, next part. For that body, okay? Still know where it's residing in the body? Okay, everybody has a good idea of where it's at? Okay, when you have that conversation, we're gonna go back in again for just a moment. We've already asked what the role of it was, what the function, what the purpose, what the intention. Now it's time for it to go, right? We don't want it residing in the body. It's much like when people will do energy work or, I know, Mr. It's like someone can identify something within someone else, right? And then you just leave it. Why would you do that? No, help them get rid of it. Help it go somewhere. You know, it doesn't need to be here anymore. So where you have found that stuck energy, that discomfort, that discord, okay? You ready to let it go? Yeah? I see a few nods. Come on. Ready to let it go? Yes. Affirmations, like concretely, like, yes, we're going to get this out of here. All right. So one more beautiful deep breath in. Close to the eyes gently. We'll get settled back in. Feel the chair beneath you. Become centered. And once again, turn your eyes inward. Make it as easy as possible. Super easy. Just imagine that entity, that animal, word, color. Get in tune with that spot where it's residing. The head, the shoulders, the back, knees, toes. Could be even in a pinky toe. And as you're looking at it, you're going to do the following. Or I will ask you to do the following, actually. Repeat after me again, silently or very quietly. And for example purposes, I'm going to use the word anxiety, okay? You have your own word or image. Thank you, anxiety. That is really powerful. I now know you are here to protect me. You are incredibly strong. But I am no longer 6. I am no longer 8. I am no longer 11. I don't need you anymore. I am extremely grateful for what you've done. But it's now time for you to go. So goodbye. Good wishes. You are now released. Now, as you settle into that, see it fading. Perhaps it's walking away. Perhaps you even see a suitcase with whatever the energy is, and it's leaving. Allow it to shrink, to fade, to create more and more distance between you or between the both of you. And as it continues to leave, at some point, it's going to become a very small dot. Very tiny dots. And then imagine literally just flicking it away, gently, but flicking it away so it can no longer be in your sphere. Now raise your hand when that's complete. Well done, yeah. Okay, just a couple more. And if it happens to be stubborn, for those of you that hasn't had it completely go, send it with love. It can continue to exist, but somewhere else, not with you. Almost like pushing it out with love and gratitude. When you're ready, take another deep breath in. There is no hurry, take your time. And release. And then come back to full awareness with your eyes open, being very present. Okay, just got a couple more. Just give another few seconds here. Yeah. Almost there. Now for those that are still releasing it, okay, know that you're the one that's in control. Hold on to the reins. If you see horses, grab those reins and direct. A little more. You might have spoken to quite a few different areas and not just one, so it might take a little bit of time. Use whatever method feels most natural for you to allow that energy to leave. If you happen to see a cord between you, an energetic cord, naturally release it. Have it minimize. If it's a thick cord, make it thinner. Direct it to become thinner and thinner and thinner, where it literally evaporates. It's so fine that you don't even see it anymore. If you need to, place it in a box. There we go. Yeah. Okay, good. Yep. You can place it into a box. Yep. Let it go. And when you're ready, take a nice breath in, cleansing breath. release, and come back to awareness. Didn't know you guys were doing self-healing today, did you? Especially so early on a Sunday morning. How was it for you? Anyone have results? Yeah? Could be significant ones, might be smaller ones. Even the smaller ones, when they add up, are significant. So very, very, very good. Now, what an additional success story on a lighter note of things. Another block that I personally had was writing. When I was little, I wrote a ton of stories. I would love creative writing. I'll share the incident, but as I became an adult, I found I wasn't doing creative stories, but I was journaling a lot, like incredible amounts, between just what I call automatic writing, downloads, personal stories, things for my kids, for their classes, you know, that kind of thing. And then I realized there was a day when I opened up basically a trunk-sized box, and I'm looking at these journals, and half of them I don't even remember writing, because it had been so long. It was like getting those thoughts, right? Whether they were good, bad, especially the not so good ones, to get it out of the body, to release it so it doesn't internalize and fester. But I was like, I don't even remember that anymore. I'm like, why am I holding on to this? What was holding me back? And I'm like, oh, history. I didn't want to forget some of my history. But I'm like, yeah, but I already know what I need to know, so why would I need that history in there? So I burnt them. That was what I chose to do. I burnt them. I released it. I was like, back out you go. Fast forward to about, actually roughly a year ago from this conference when I attended last year, there was something that had come up. I'm like, I really want to write again. I'm like, why am I not writing? So I went back into it, the block, okay? My block was not writing, not doing creative writing. Why wasn't I writing? I didn't trust myself. Why didn't I trust myself? Because you were told you weren't good. Why did I think I was not any good at it? Because you had a ninth grade teacher that told you you weren't. Why did the ninth grade teacher think I wasn't good at writing? So I started laughing, and I'm going to share this with you because personally I'm still laughing about it. In ninth grade, I know exactly what desk I was sitting at. I can see my teacher there. And in one of the presentations the other day, it was like that towering moment over a student, right? So though I wasn't like right front and center of the classroom, I was over to the side. He is a very tall man, very like probably 6'2", 6'4", something like that. And of course, when you're little, right? It's like, I don't know about that. He was berating me in front of the class for a misspelled word. Okay? Yeah, though the whole other slew of thoughts. But this memory came back up so quickly. Now, I'm dating myself, but we did not have computers back then. Okay? We didn't even have liquid paper for the typewriter. We had typewriting class, and if you made a mistake, you had to put an X. You had to type X's over the word because you didn't have a way to correct it. That's how far back this goes. Okay? So, computers nowadays, I'm like, I'll look at one of my sons, okay, help. But in this, I was very proud that I had typed out my story for English class, okay? I had misspelled the word weather, okay? W-E-A-T-H-E-R, right? Sounds pretty simple. Well, if you remove the A, what does that spell? Weather. But what is W-E-T-H? It's a castrated sheep. So in the story, it made no sense because I was talking about, I don't remember the actual story, but the word was supposed to be weather, as in inclement weather, like storms and skies. And yet that word with the missing A was a castrated sheep. So when I realized that was what the block was, I had my own internal dialogue with that teacher. I went in, did the role, function, purpose, intention in there. Then I found where it was stuck in the body, and it turned out to be in my wrists. I'm like, oh, that might be why I'm experiencing carpal tunnel. And it actually was. Once I realized it, all this starts healing. It was crazy. It was amazing, actually. So I had a conversation within me with that teacher. I'm saying, you were my ninth grade English teacher. What was your job? You were to help me, not berate me, take me aside, say, hey, you misspelled this word of probably an accident because it looks like you typed it instead of wrote it, hoping that, you know, whatever it might be. But it was a completely different dialogue that I reframed after that. And since then, I have now written 3 books. So I really thank you. Very good. The first one did end up, not surprisingly, end up being a self-help book. We are in hypnosis, after all, right? And it's a lot of techniques that worked for me over 12 years to get to the point where I'm at now, personally. The second was a fluff book, The Art of Herkel Durkel. It's The Cat's Guide to Lounge. Herkel, I know that word. When I heard the word Herkel Durkel, it actually is a Scottish term from the 18th century for lounging. Lazy start to the day, okay? So I wrote it, this fun book, from a cat's perspective because they are beautiful examples of lazy days, right? Get spurts of energy and so on. And then the last one is a spiritual fantasy for 10-year-olds and up, for the young and the young at heart in there. But it was incredible. When you start removing the blocks, even though it might seemingly not seem so big, you never know where your path is going to go. Like, I personally have not niched down in my hypnosis practice. I've always put out there, whoever I can help, I will help. That's currently where I'm at. And it is surprising who's come to me with what I would consider more common ones. Yes, the weight, the smoking, anxiety, sleep, grief, which is a really hard one. Okay. But it's really, really, really amazing. So I have not niched down personally, just other than what's holding you back so that it gets you to that next step. So I thank you. Rich just told me that it's time to go. And I would love to gift anyone a book if you're interested. And I have more copies in the car because I didn't quite expect as many people here. But let me show you what it is. And if you know someone or for yourself that's interested, this is Elia, A Daughter of Realms. Okay, and it is a 10 or a 14-year-old that starts high school that finds different realms, and she learns about the importance of water, self-talk, Dr. Emoto, to give you an example. But this is a way that I'm hoping to get to the younger generation, so that as we as adults, we're learning, we're evolving, we need to start younger, in my opinion. So that's my goal. So anyone interested? I have a few. Okay, I guess so. And if you like it, then I will ask you to purchase one and gift it to somebody else. Sound good? There you go. And if I happen to run out, I do have more in my car. Okay. Anyone else? Yes? Okay. Oh.
I'll trade you.
You'll trade me? Okay. Done. Would you like that? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Yes.
I want to mention something really, really quick. It is amazing the number of people in our lives, it's an assumption, who are, we have put into some kind of authoritative position, and they say no.